on discussion with the PPL team guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent an email probably on Friday or Saturday, and I haven't received a response yet. So at this point, I'm clueless of what
mm-hmm.
could be the problem with PPL team. So, you know, I show this guy the patch that I did to PTL team to, you know, to be able to trace memory and so on. And he said that it looks pretty sane.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only, you know, a couple of E's with the print F, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really anything that can be affected by mm-hmm. the patch. Yeah. So we conclude that was something in the vanilla PTL team, but at this point, you know, I haven't received any response of more or less what could be or where can I do which sort of problem kind of thing. So at this point I'm stuck with that.
Mm.
The other thing is that I start developing the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been these 2 or 3 days working on that. So it has been somewhat, you know, complicated because I have to do some synchronization and so on. I also need to be careful with using 64 bits because, so that's not complete yet. I also did a couple of things. I think last time we said that I was going to look for memory traces somewhere. I couldn't find anything. So probably some researcher already published some memory traces, but I couldn't find anything. Well, there are some more things I don't remember that I did. But you know, mainly these two things: the PTL team problem and the simulator have been doing. So at this point, again, I'm a little concerned about the PTL team because it seems like we're really stuck on that.
Does this guy whom you're communicating with seem motivated to help?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first few mails that we sent, he responded really fast and he was willing to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what happened. At some point, he stopped. And
maybe
it's
one of those people who stops working over the week.
Yes, that's what I thought. So I have to wait for today. I haven't received any email from him today. So probably he's in Australia or something.
So who is this guy? Is one of the developers of PTL?
I don't know, but I think so because he seems to know what
mm-hmm.
he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to know a lot about PTL because it's not only me, but he also responds to some other guy.
Okay.
About the internals of PTL. Yeah. Right.
Okay, I think, do you want to talk about the simulator briefly?
Sure, I can tell you what I have been doing. So I have I have like different modules. I divide the code in different modules. So I have the memory module, which keeps track of will be like a virtual memory subsystem, which keeps track of which one is dirty, which one is not, what frame is used for this virtual page. I also have another module for the thread, the flush thread. I have one module for the replacement algorithm, which I implement LRU,
mm-hmm.
which means what is just a queue, right?
Module that which is the module that computes the rank of the page?
LRU, right?
When do you update the rank of the page?
Each time it's accessed, I update the replacement algorithm, which is LRU or the rank, and I also update the memory subsystem in case we are doing a write because it's working out.
Okay. In a real system, though, that's not how it will work, right? You cannot update the ranks every time the page is active.
Of course not. Yeah.
That will happen.
I mean, this is where at this point I'm implementing a real LRU, a perfect LRU, let's say.
Mm.
And that's because we have all the information of the time axis of the memory, right? The exact axis.
Yeah.
Time. So. Yeah.
And also. So is there a part of the simulator that simulates the memory power consumption? I think that also needs to be
simulates the memory. No, at this point I'm just developing the whole simulator.
Mm.
I'm planning to add the statistics at the end. I guess that fits on the statistics part.
I'm just trying to think how the memory power consumption can be simulated. I mean, what is the best way to simulate that information?
Well, we don't need a power consumption of the SSD, because we can measure that.
We can measure the power consumption.
In the case of memory, I don't know exactly how we can compute that.
Also for the...
I guess we can compute the time that it was idle and the time that was in use. I think that's easy to compute. And probably with that we can have an approximation.
The other thing which I think we need to think about is what is the... I think we have to discuss at least the timing accurate simulation. Right, which means the... are we replaying the trace based on the timestamp?
Yes.
Yes.
And that makes sense. I mean, because we need the real, we need the idle times that the real
trace
will do, right? So, because in that time when the cleaning probably happens
Precisely. So it could be that we cannot do really timing accurate playback because the memory axes fall behind because of the access to the flash. So that's even that's possible.
Yes. Yeah.
So in that case, we issue the request at the next available time greater than the timestamp.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't consider that, but.
As soon as the time exceeds the timestamp, then you can send out the request.
Yeah.
Which is what will happen anyway. And you send it out in the right sequence.
Right.
And each of these memory accesses are synchronous, right? So you don't do multiple simultaneously.
Exactly. So what I'm doing is that I create these module that is a flash allocation module. So the idea is that it provides an API for to flush pages from memory to the SSD. And what I'm doing right now is that I haven't implemented, but this is the idea. I have the buffer. Buffer structure we have been talking about. So I fill this buffer with all the requests I have, and when the buffer is full, then is when I write to the flash.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm only implementing the log structure.
So when you say buffer is full, what does that mean?
The buffer will be okay. The buffer will be this. The size of the buffer will be exactly the same as the size of the segment we're using. So in the case of the log, what we want is to we want to write a log completely, right?
You mean a segment completely?
Sorry, segment completely. So when the buffer is full, meaning that I have enough pages to write to fill a segment, then I write to the SSD.
So this sort of goes back to one of the discussions that we had in the past, which is there is really no need to have an explicit buffer. Right.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is a buffer, I'm not talking about, you know, the buffer. I'm talking about an array that points to the pages I want to flush, right?
And how do you decide that you have a specific set of pages to flush? When does a page become candidate for flushing?
When the replacement algorithm, because I have the flush thread. And that flush thread is just a infinite loop which will...
So remember that we had this discussion about the thresholds, right?
Last week.
And I think that still makes sense to me,
which is
the flush thread starts flushing data as soon as the number of clean pages in the lower, let's say 5% ranked pages falls below a certain threshold.
Right.
And then you start flushing the pages that are dirty from the lower 5%. So
right.
The goal is to always maintain a certain, or 5% or whatever the, so you have a ranked list of pages. Right. Some pages are high ranked, other pages are low ranked.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, what you want is that the low-ranked pages are all clean.
Right.
So whenever there is a demand paging request, you use one of those low-ranked pages.
Right.
The flushing thread has the responsibility to maintain sufficient number of clean pages that are low-ranked.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is that there is no need to maintain this explicit buffer, or you could call the lowest 5% low-ranked pages as the buffer. You could call it that way?
Not exactly, because the thing is that what happens if you have, from that 5%, you only have two pages
that need to be written.
That need to be written, right? Yeah. So in that case, you're not going to write to the flash.
True.
But you would rather wait for some other pages that need to be flushed in order to fill the whole segment.
So what you could do then is to have a buffer that is all the dirty pages in the low 5%. And when the size of that buffer exceeds a certain value, which it would directly translate into the number of clean pages in the low 5% going below a certain level, then you start flushing. In any case, what I feel is that you don't really need an explicit buffer. Right? You just need a measure of how many clean pages there are in the low 5% rank page. If that number of clean pages goes below a certain threshold, you start flushing. And then you stop when you exceed a certain, maintain a certain threshold. Or you could have a buffer with pointers to the pages that get populated as they become dirty and in the low 5%. But if they become suddenly popular, you have to take it out of the buffer. If they move from the low 5% out, then they should also leave the buffer. This 5%, 10%, whatever can be a configurable parameter. I don't know what sort of data structure it might
be. But I'm trying to think what happened. Okay, if you have two pages, say, if you have two pages to write, then what do? You write them or not? I mean, from those 5%
In the low 5%, if there are only two pages that are dirty, you don't do anything. Because you can tolerate a certain number of dirty pages in the low 5%.
Okay, then that...
Because most of the pages are clean, so I'm good.
Okay.
Right?
So, okay. So,
you start flushing only if there are lots of dirty pages in the low 5%. And which automatically means that you will have a lot of pages to write. It's like a watermark, right? So as the program starts using memory, starts writing to it, in the low 5%, you have a certain number of clean pages. And then the number of clean pages keep going down. When it goes below a certain value, let's say a fraction, let's say 20%, then you start the cleaner thread, which is going to start increasing that watermark. And then in parallel, it starts going down a little bit, but it goes up faster than it goes down. So you want to make sure that this level, or the watermark, is always maintained so that it doesn't go below a certain value. And well, if it goes above, it's fine, but you don't really have to, because maybe you're paging unnecessarily. If it goes above a certain value, there is no need to write, and you're writing.
Okay.
So you can have a lower threshold and an upper threshold, and then you can have a lower 5% or 10%, whatever it is.
Hey.
Come on in, Daniel.
How are you?
Good.
Hey, Louis.
You remember Louis?
Yeah, I remember him.
And this is Daniel?
Yeah.
Have a seat.
In the lab, thank you.
Yeah. How was your internship?
Oh, it was really nice. A nice experience up there, and you always learn a lot. I mean, big company too, I like it.
Very good. So yeah. I'm just wrapping up a few things with Louis, and then
sure, continue.
You know, we can have our discussion.
Okay.
So does that make sense? Maybe that changes the way you were thinking about this. I don't know if it makes
sense. No, it's fine. Actually, I think the way I was implementing this, at the end we'll do something similar.
Oh, I see.
But I probably have to do some changes.
And I don't know if we discussed this aspect of the thresholds and number of clean
pages
anywhere in the paper.
I don't know if it's in the paper, but
I think we should discuss that more formally in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be, we have an implementation section as well.
Could be implementation, but it could also be part of the design.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think, I mean, do we still go for fast with this, or depends on the PTL
system? Let's see what happens. I don't know if at this point, after I finish the simulator, I have more to do, right? Rather than wait for PTL sim. So, I mean, doing the simulator is good for me to find some problems and probably understand better the system. So, if at some point I find that I don't have more work to do, I guess I will try to do some implementation of real operating system and see what happens. Right? That's if I don't have anything else to do but wait for video.
Okay.
And the other thing I want to discuss with you before we wrap up is so if I do the real implementation, that's something I mentioned in one of my emails. Do we need a motivation? Do we need the same motivation that we are having right now? Because the thing is that if we have a real implementation, we just need to evaluate base case and just show that we certainly have a good, reasonable performance and low power consumption, right? Which means that our evaluation is our motivation as well. We're making the point, right?
The trick with the real implementation is two things. One is the power measurement, right?
Right.
How do we come up with an estimate of the DRAM power?
Right.
which to me is
I think Rick was telling me that apparently there are some very cheap, remember the discussion we had? Right. So he said that he found some generic,
heatsink.
Right, heatsink, and that apparently was really cheap. So I don't know. I can discuss with him more about that.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's one
so
tricky thing.
The second thing is the performance impact. It is not easy to come up with the memory access time distribution.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, in this case, the only thing we can report is application runtime.
Application runtime. Yeah. It may be still acceptable.
We can also.
In that sense, the simulator is helpful in also showing some additional information.
Show some additional information.
So I think the work on the simulator is not completely wasted.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it only makes sense if we have real traces.
Yeah, and it only makes sense if we can actually use at some point. And that's true. The other thing we can measure with the real simulator is that we have the miss rate, which can also help in estimating the time.
You mean a real implementation?
In the real implementation, yeah.
The miss rate of the page fault rate?
The page fault, yeah.
Yeah. So we could do that in the simulator as well.
Yeah, but I'm trying to find ways to calculate the time or the performance or performance degradation.
The page fault rate does not tell me how many page faults per memory access. It tells me how many page faults per unit of time.
Right, but if you run one application, the same application in both cases, you can see the number of page faults and also the rate of the page faults for the same memory access, which can give you an estimate of how bad it is.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that may be possible.
But we don't know if there is anyway.
Okay, so all right. So I think simultaneously we need to work on the paper writing, which for the time being, since you're busy with the simulator implementation, I'll do some of the writing that to the extent that we can. I think the motivation is still unresolved, and we'll probably continue working on that with the PTL sim implementation.
Right.
Maybe with the, if the implementation is done, we can start with some simple traces like the postmark trace that you already have and work with that. Maybe we don't present it in the end, but at least we can get some numbers, we can go through this exercise and make sure there are no bugs.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm planning to do.
Okay. All right, that's good. So I guess we continue whatever we are doing at this point. Hope that we resolve the PTL sim.
Right.
Let's shoot for fast because there is no harm doing that. At this point, we are not completely lost, right?
Yeah, I think we can reconsider from 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
We have 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Okay. So I'll see you at 4, right?
Yeah, in about 15 minutes we'll meet again.
Okay.
Thank you.